Let's just stay standing and pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, may we learn obedience and learn how to allow your Spirit to move us, that your will would be done as quickly on the earth as it is done in heaven. Father, as we are gathered here this morning, we rejoice. In this day, we rejoice to be partakers of your godly nature, and we pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. We pray that you would fill this place with your Spirit, God, and that you would move amongst us. Father, unless your Spirit comes and unless you fill my heart, my lips, my mind, unless you move, O God, this next hour is but in vain. Father, we pray against any powers of darkness and pray that by the power of your Spirit and by the blood of Jesus Christ that destroyed the devil and all the power, that you would just cleanse every shadow of darkness, every doubt, every fear, every bitterness, anything, God, that would hinder your word from penetrating our hearts and helping us to rest more assuredly in you. We pray your blessing upon us. And do also pray for those who are sick and not able to be here with us. Especially pray for Brother Dwayne. That ask God that you would touch him, comfort him, Father, and heal his body. We do pray against the infection in his ears and pray, Father, that you would clear it up and that he would be able to rest. Father, again, I ask that you would touch my lips and help me to speak your word according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, today, forever. Forever. I'd like to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is today, which was yesterday, and which is to come forever. In the future. Let's actually turn and read this scripture in Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 8. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And again, he repeats and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And then again in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you remember what happened this Sunday 5 years ago? A couple more hands. This Sunday 5 years ago, Bethlehem Christian Fellowship met on their own, a tiny little church, for the first time, and our beginnings started yesterday. Seems like but yesterday. So today I would like to share some of that journey for those of you who weren't with us, that you may know how God has been with us these days. And my heart is that as we think about Jesus yesterday, we think about Jesus and Almighty God in the days of Noah, in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where was he? He was there. He was with them. He was faithful. He was with Daniel, Joseph. What are all the places where you think of God and how God worked with the people? We could think of Moses and how they left Egypt. We could think of the Passover, God yesterday. Hebrews 11 gives us many of these. By faith, Jacob blessed his sons. Joseph, by faith, he said, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. He was so confident, based on the promise that God had made to Abraham, that his children would be servants for 430 years, and then they would be led out. Joseph had faith to such a degree that he asked his fellow, or his brothers, he gave them commandment, it says, to take his bones along. Moses rose up. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than Egypt. They went through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, Jericho. And what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And by faith they did all these things. That was yesterday. But that didn't stop just because the Bible was printed. God didn't somehow stop working in the hearts of men just because Revelations was printed and they bound the books together. God is still alive today. God is still working. And by faith, we may say, and may trust in him, just in the very same way that they did. How many of you would like to see that little flock that started 9 years or 5 years ago? Why don't all the families that were there 5 years ago stand? And then it would be Justin and Leah, and Simon and Betty that are missing. So this little flock 5 years ago met for the first time at the Keene Grange Hall there at the end of County Road 12. And as you can see, we weren't any special people. We didn't have any special pedigrees. Anything amazing? No. We were just very common people. You may be seated. So I'd like to just share this story of how God led us and where we are. And especially as we think Well, we sang the song, "Teach me, O Lord, to number my days." And I think reflecting back and thinking back is a good way for us to number our days. I went back through pictures and videos, and it made me laugh and it made me cry. But 5 years is not very long. And the changes that happen in 5 years, I mean, when you look at some of these young men now, how many of you remember children's lesson and going to children's lesson at Keene Grange Hall? Hold your hand up high, really high. Hold it up really high so everybody can see. Okay, you see Josiah's holding up his hand. So this was not very long ago, and you may put your hands down. Some of you remember the children's lesson where Uriah poked pencils through a bag of water over somebody's head to see if they trusted in him, and they didn't even get wet. You can ask Uriah about that story. So, in 2020, April of 2020, I was ordained as an elder. I had served as a deacon for 2 years at Faith, and there were some conversations at that time, April of 2020, about an outreach, but there was nothing. And if any of you remember anything differently, please raise your hand and correct. This is my perspective and my memory. And also, if you have other things to add, my desire in sharing this is to testify of God's goodness and remember the works that He did among us. Remember the miracles that He did. Remember the things that... Also, His mercy. How many times did we mess up? How many times did we hurt each other? How many times was it hard? And God in His mercy continued with us. So, feel free to share also. Hopefully, I'll be through here that we'll have a little bit of time at the end as well. So, when I was ordained in 2020... it was not specifically for an outreach, but by midsummer, it seemed like the Lord was clearly leading for an outreach in the area of the families down in this direction. And so we started looking for a meeting place. If I remember right, it was Brother Reuben, Brother Elson, and Brother Sill that were appointed to search a place. And so they looked in Blissfield. Maybe there was that little church house. There was meetings. Danville, maybe. Spring Mountain. Nelly. Where could we meet? Where would God have us gather as a little church? And one day, Brother Reuben noticed this place. And we very quickly felt like, well, this would be kind of central to everybody, not back a, you know, gravel road somewhere, easy to get to, and didn't take very long for us to feel like this would work well, but it was a flea market, and it wasn't for sale. At least there was no for sale sign, but there was a number on the door, and a phone call confirmed that, yes, he would sell it for $52,000. $75,000. Okay, thank you, brother. $75,000. And so, we sent some scouts. Brothers from Faith and brothers that were considering to be part of the outreach came and checked it out. Was the foundation good? Why were the walls so crooked? You all can't see it now, but this building had an 8-inch bow where the whole middle of the building was leaning that direction. If you look on the outside there, you can kind of see what it looked like. But We had a brother who knew how to fix things. And as we looked at the building, we felt it would be a workable place for us to meet. But how do we buy it? And so Faith at that point had just finished paying off their $150,000 loan that they had used to renovate their basement. And so they offered that they could essentially co-sign for us, and we could, you know, buy it and then renovate. And as we talked about it, there were some concerns about borrowing money. And we decided that especially to buy it, we're going to just wait until we have enough funds. And I don't remember the details of the negotiation, how it came down to $52,000. I think maybe we offered what we had in the building fund. And if I remember correctly, it was $25,000 or $28,000 that we had in the building fund. And so we offered that. And I believe that's where the owner then told us that he would take $52,000. So we decided to wait. And if this is where God wanted us, it would still be here when we had enough funds. And some of these details, I didn't start soon enough to research every one of these specifically. But if I remember correctly, it was within 2 months. I want to say it might have been the very next month that the building fund had $50,000. And then he was willing to take $50,000. So it was within 2 months that we had enough funds and we purchased this old building. And yes, there are pictures. There is a story I actually checked with Uriah and Sarah had been working on putting together a book of remembrance. And so maybe by the end of the year or so, there will be a booklet that has some of these things in. You can actually visualize it. At that time, the building was only over to this wall. There was a big high stage, the height of that that pillar, that platform. That's how high the stage was. So there was a big stage up here. Old ceiling, no insulation. The basement had hardwood floor on it that was somehow swollen, or it was tight, and so there were waves in it. It wasn't nailed to the floor, so when you walked across it, it actually went like this. So now we purchased the building, and we have, during this time also, the hearts of the brothers are being drawn together. I believe we would have been having some, or started having some brothers' meetings as an outreach at that time. And so God had just provided, you know, in very short order, enough funds to buy this building. And then the brothers that you saw standing here, I think we were all here, came and started talking about, what do we do now? Do we start meeting as it is? Do we renovate it? Do we put on an addition? What do we do? I very clearly remember that evening. It started getting very real. So we looked at a number of options, talked about different things. And I remember standing back there in that corner. How many of you remember the song we sang? I remember standing back there as brothers, all in a circle, 9 brothers. And we sang, "Building Up the Temple." Brother, will you help me? Sister, will you help me? Building up the temple. Maybe it was a silly little thing, but I think it was, we saw the project that was ahead of us. So, as we considered what to do, we had the option of adding an addition or just renovating this side. And our first thought was that we would renovate this and then we would add an addition. That way we wouldn't have as much code, and you know, if you're putting up a church building, there's you know, state regulations and all of that. And we figured if we renovated this, then it would just be that side that would have to be built up to code. But as we looked at it, Brother John was leading out on the project, and he realized how challenging it was going to be to renovate in such a way that when we put on an addition, we're not just repeating a lot of work. And checked with the local officials, and they told him that we don't need, if it's an addition, we can do whatever we want. We don't need permits, we don't have anything. And so the decision was made to add an addition right away. And as I thought back over this, I just want to bless all of you brothers. You know, as I think about the many choices we had to make, there were so many things that we needed to decide. You know, how was this addition going to look? Just so many things. And it just, I think, struck me in a way that I hadn't thought about before, about how much giving and taking there was during that time. And I think it's something that's good for us to remember, how willing we were to, well, it doesn't have to be my way, but here's an idea, here's a thought, and at least as I remember it, there weren't any just real difficulties in deciding how this was going to be. So, so we discussed how we're going to fund this. I think John estimated that it would cost something like $150,000 for the renovation. And we had $0 in the building fund because we had just emptied it to buy the place. I think we kind of know the feeling because of what we're experiencing right now. Which is partially why I wanted to share this today. It's because God is able. God is able. As we talked about it with that would have been the brothers here, but also including the brothers at Faith, there were a couple of brothers that were very concerned about borrowing money. And as we dialogued through that, we gave it an extra month and we were praying about it. And during that time, an anonymous brother in the Lord offered to give us money, no interest, and we pay it back whenever we can. And so that felt like, well, that's praise the Lord. Because we had a little bit of a dilemma. Brother John was going to lead out on the renovation project, and he had scheduled the whole winter was planning to put in a lot of effort. So if we don't have enough funds to really do the project, then you know, come spring, summer, and the next fall, it's just going to be a lot more challenging to get the project done. So it would be really nice if we had enough funds to be able to do it while John has time to lead out in it. So we had that offer, and we decided that we would ask God to provide as we need the funds. And then if we ran into a tough situation or a tough scenario, we always had that we could utilize if we needed it. And so John estimated that it would cost roughly $37,000 to add the addition and put a new roof on the whole thing and dry it in, which we needed that. So we weren't going to start unless we have enough funds to do that. Well, by the time that we had decided how the addition should look and had finalized all of those and we're all agreed to move ahead, we actually had $37,000. And so it's like, well, okay. We can at least do that part, and then we'll expect God to give us more, or you know, we'll use the funds from what the brother had offered. Now, during this time, You know, we were having brothers meetings just as a small group, and we had started to meet at the Keene Grange Hall before this building was completed. And I wasn't able to recall. Maybe one of you brothers remembers. How did that come about? How did we decide to start meeting before the building was put together? If somebody remembers, maybe you can share that at some point. So, on December 6th, 2020, we met by ourselves for the first time. And what a blessing. It was a real blessing. I told someone the other evening, I don't think anybody knew how alone I felt and how scared I was and nervous, and this was a very new thing for this young man. But God was faithful. So that first Sunday morning, we were by ourselves, like we were intentionally. Nobody from Faith had come down. It was just our small group for the first time, except I saw, as I was looking at some of the pictures and videos, that Reuben and Rachel had come, and it reminded me that on that first Sunday, we actually had a time of prayer and sending off for Sister Kay went over to Haiti. So that was an experience for us that first Sunday of sending our sister to Haiti. And so I think Rachel and Christine and Reuben and Rachel were there that first Sunday to experience that with us. So back to how God provided. The December 29th, there was a track hoe here, and there was a little, where the furnace room is now, there was a little bit of an attachment to the building, so that was torn away, and Brother David Mass dug the footers, and we think we poured the footers the same day, and the next day we started laying blocks, and very shortly thereafter, I think it was the first week of January, if I remember, we started framing and putting an addition, and there was a lot of people and a lot of dirty work and a lot of good memories. But there was a Saturday when they were putting the roof on and somebody showed up that kind of surprised us a little bit. And here again we see the goodness of God. The inspector shows up. And he accused us for working nights and Saturdays and trying to get this thing, you know, snuck in where we don't have to have permits and all of that. Well, we had checked with, I forget who it was, the township or somebody, and they had told us we don't need it. So, if he would have come a little bit earlier, we would have had to have an architect draw everything up, have everything to code. If we would have come a little bit later, we would have drywalled everything and he wouldn't have been able to see anything. Our electric and our plumbing would have been in and it would have been a disaster. But he came at a time when he was able to see everything that we had done. And then they were very, very workable in helping us get permits for the plumbing. I think really the only thing was the electrical and plumbing that, you know, that was cost us a little bit more. I think we had to have a licensed plumber and electrician. But just I just marvel at how God could have, you know, he could have showed up way later. He could have showed up way earlier, and it would have cost us way more money. But at just the right time, he came, and it worked out really well. So, the roof was, well, so that's the other thing. So, that took, I think, I don't know, was it a month longer? maybe 6 weeks longer, because we had to wait on until they, you know, there was an extra process. When I went to pay the $37,000 framing package, it was all paid. Paid in full. So now we have $37,000 that we can use for the next steps. And that's how it continued. We're, you know, we have funds. We put in plumbing and electric. Well, now we need drywall. We need lights. We need flooring. And every time, whenever we were ready, there was enough funds to do that next piece. And so we finished, and we never used any funds that that person had offered us. Every time there was enough. And so we finished this place. The pews come from Michigan. John and I found those, and God gave us those. Those are free. We had to paint them, but we decided we can live with the color red for a while at least. And so far it's been working quite well. Yesterday, today, and forever. So those things happened not very long ago. If you subtract 5 years from your age, how old were you? Especially young men and young women, I'd like for you to do this exercise. 5 years ago. How old were you 5 years ago? Now, at 5 years to your age, how old will you be in 5 years? Would you be old enough to be courting, be married, be ordained, be on the mission field? Be part of another church outreach? We don't know, but I think it's very important and very valuable for us to number our days, to remember that day one, day two, you know, just day after day, it doesn't take very long, and 5 years goes by. So I don't remember exactly the date, but from what I could see, I think it was August 9th when we met here for the first time. And then we had, does anybody remember, did we have a whole week of dedication services? It was a whole week of evening services where many of people from faith came, and it was just a real blessing. This building was packed out to the max most evenings. So that was a real blessing. And in this time, we were meeting at Elson's house for brothers' meeting because we wanted to save on rent. So we have good memories of that first half year being over at Elson's apartment for our brothers' meetings. Many good discussions and times of prayer. And also remember the first prayer meeting we had as a church. How many of you remember that? In Elson's living room. And yeah, we all gathered around. I don't remember many details of the evening. One thing I did remember was Elson had some very bad sores because he was, I think there was something with concreting and, well, maybe working harder than he should have. I don't know what all the details were there, but just remember we ended up having an anointing, and so that was stretching. It was the first anointing that we had, so just many of those little first things that happen. And in it all, I just marvel at how God is faithful. God is faithful, and we can put our faith in Him. We can put our trust in Him. We can rest in Him. As we think about the next 5 years, as we think about the next year, and we're talking outreach, and we're talking, we're a little bit more than talking outreach. There's some land down there in Bladensburg that is. So my encouragement is that we can rest in God. God is same as He was yesterday. He's same today and He will be same forever. That also means that in the same way that when the people in the Old Testament did not follow Him and walked in their own ways, God chastened them. And so, let's press into walking in His way. I also want to share a little bit in that. So this was in December of 2020, 5 years ago. And then in August of 2021, we moved to this building. And then in October of 2021, October 16th, 21, I have a screenshot of a text message from Matthew Miller. He says, "Please pray for us. We are being held hostage. They kidnapped our driver. Pray, pray, pray. We don't know where they're taking us." And so we found out on October 16th that Sister Kay, along with, how many were there? 17 total were kidnapped in Haiti. So we gathered that evening to pray as a church. Again, we were blessed to have Reuben and Rachel join us. And we thought we would pray that evening, and by the next evening they'd probably be released. But they weren't, so we came back the next evening and we prayed again. And they still weren't released the next day, and so we prayed again. And it ended up that we had prayer meeting 60 days. Every night we were gathered here praying, and most of the people were here, plus many others joined us. So we have some very good memories of God working in our midst. We prayed for those captives in Haiti, and we prayed for the captives in our midst, those who were wrestling. There were some souls that were struggling to be free, and praise the Lord, they are free. And I look back at those days and just marvel at how God answers prayers. I remember one evening, the blessings of our brothers and sisters at Faith remembered us. And we came here, and the whole island down there was filled with food plus the sink. So they remembered that we're spending every evening praying, and they thought about our wives who were, they needed to still have food on the table. And so that was a real blessing. I think if I remember right, every night we prayed, and then we had the amount of captives come up on the stage, and we had no idea what condition they were in. So we talked about and imagined what they might be suffering. Were they all sleeping in a room this size? And it ended up it wasn't too much bigger than this. So every evening we had people come up to represent the people who were being held hostage. And I don't remember when we started, but at some point we started praying during the night, and we put names behind every hour, and people committed to getting up during the night and praying around the clock. And then on December 16th, we got word that, I don't remember when Matt and Rachel were released. Then on December 16th, Kay and Noacker's wife and son were released. And so as each of them were released, I don't know if you remember that, Reuben, or not, I watched that video and it made me cry. We had the families come up, or people come up and thank God for releasing them and erase their name. It's great rejoicing. And so many other things that God has done for us. Healings, kidney stones being split, eyesight being restored. Many things that God has done for us. Also during this time, we laid to rest two little souls that we never got to know. Joshua and Suzanne had stillborn twin daughters, and so during that time, was that in November, I think, or October, we had a mourning and a funeral for them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." May we do that as we look forever. Yesterday, today, we know God is same in the future, and we can rest in Him. So let us lay aside every weight, any sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us. What is the next 5 years? We don't know. But we know that there's a lot of change. Many of you have come and have become a part of us, and we're extremely grateful. And now, where will God lead us from here? Maybe I'll just open it here. I'd like to read Hebrews 12 and 13 in closing, but I'll open it here. And just give opportunity for any of you to testify of these last 5 years. God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's mercy. What confidence can we have that God is the same? If God is the same, that the next 5 years will also be okay. Anybody that would like to share? Brother Reuben?
Yeah, as those of you that were with us all the way from the beginning, you know some of the struggles that we had in our family with some of our children. They aren't here right now. They're on the way to Bible school now. But I just want to thank each one of you that have been with us and bore with us and helped us. We're in a much better place today than we were 4 years ago. And I just want to thank all of you that were a part of our story. And we appreciate that. We just would request continued prayers as God brings it to your mind. There's just a lot of things happened the last 5 years. We had COVID and we had... That's life. But I'm thankful that sometimes I look up at the moon and the stars, and I think this is the same moon, the same stars that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah saw. It's the same. And that's, the Bible says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I appreciate your message, and I think it's very healthy to reflect on the past and seeing how that God is, like you said, faithful, and He is the same, and He will lead us in the future so we can put our full trust and faith and confidence in Him. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Reuben. Are there others that would like to share? I felt God leading me to talk about gifts and how we need each other, and also how we can so easily offend each other. Like, you know, that noisy hammer, just, why doesn't he be quiet, you know? And then the sandpaper rubs us the wrong way, and then, you know, we can't understand why the saw just rips everything apart, you know? It's just, why can't we just sand it smooth, you know? Make it, like, we need to recognize that we are all a tool in God's hand, not for our own benefit, not for our own glory, and not even maybe for, you know, any certain individual, but that we as a body may be edified and that we may grow up in Christ to be a perfect example of who Christ is. And that's really why we have all these gifts and differences. So I do think it's very important that we continue to esteem the other better than ourselves, that we continue to humble ourselves. As we heard Brother Owen say, humility is one of those things that justifies. Is there anybody else that would like to share before I close here? Well, thank you all for sharing. Thank you all for yes, Brother Fernando. Thank you, Jesus. There's many thoughts that go through my mind, but maybe I'll just seek the Lord and share that message. I'll just say that one of the questions that has gone through my mind many, many times in these last 5 years, and as many of you have come and we've gotten to know you and you've become a part of us, and that's something I'm very blessed with, is that when people come, you become part of us. And there will always be those 9 first families, but I want everybody to feel, everybody that comes in our doors, that we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question that I've asked myself often, and I've asked some of you this question: do we as a church decide who can come? Do people who are coming decide where they want to go? Or how much is this God's doing? How much does God bring people gifts that we need, or things that God wants us to share with those people? And so I think as we blend our hearts and our lives together, let's ever walk in humility, being humble enough that we can actually talk with each other, share with each other, be open to hear each other, and truly show the world who God is. Like Joe said, they love each other. May that be our testimony. They love each other. Love is not some passive thing that happens. It comes from intentional actions. So let us continually seek to be emptied of the spirit of self and to be filled with the Spirit of God. I will finish by reading Hebrews chapter 13. I think these are a list of this. I see a list of things here that God wants us to consider as we move forward. Let brotherly love continue. Amen? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Amen? Let's remember that. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Amen? Remember those who are in prison? Yes. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Keeping our marriages pure, our marriages strong. Let your conversation, your behavior, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Amen. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Amen. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us that we trust, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we continue into the future, for he is the same that he was yesterday.